Well, good evening. How you guys doing? All right. Praise the Lord for that. For those of you that probably don't know me, my name is Smith Castillo. And if I speak a little funny, I was born in Dominican Republic. I grew up in New York. And I live in Texas now. So Texas confused my English. Okay? So now I say y'all and stuff like that, you know, that improper. Yeah, we're excited to share another night with you. We're sharing the Lord's words, and tonight our message is going to be presented a little bit different. I will be speaking, then we're going to break out in groups. I'll continue speaking, we'll go back in groups, and then I'll finish. So I'm going to ask my helpers to go take your spots, so like that when it's time to break up in groups, we won't have too much of initial moving around. So, Amy, if you could come over here with this group here with the first three benches. Oscar, can you do this front group here? And Sister Connie, can you get the group from where Erica is at a little bit back? And yeah, we have a fourth person, the fourth or fifth person. Okay, so we can divide up this group right here in two. So maybe we could get five or six from that side, and then you can get the other five or six right behind you, okay? All right? Good. So like that would be divided up in groups. All right. Tonight we're talking about an interesting topic, a topic on doubt. Has anyone here never dealt with doubt? You know, it's interesting. You know, I think it's safe to say that doubt is part of life, right? I mean, we leave our homes in the morning and we're questioning whether we're going to come home okay or not, you know? We aren't sure if the plans that we're making for the future, are they going to be all right? You know, there's always this level of uncertainty that we go through and we wrestle with. And what I've noticed is it does not matter how much education you have. Does not matter how much money you have or don't have. It does not matter how old you are. We all deal with this thing called doubt and uncertainties, right? Now, I don't know about you, and I speak about myself. Whenever I deal with doubt and uncertainties, I don't like the feeling. Do you like the feeling? It makes me uneasy. And, you know, my personality style, I like to have things under control. Are there people here that like to have things under control? No, not too much, right? What happens when you don't have control? I'll give you an example. I lived in Orlando for about 9 years, and my family lives over there. And in Walt Disney World, there's a, you know, I like roller coasters and rides. But there's one of them that I totally despise. And it is the Tower of Terror. Any of you guys been on that one? Oh, yeah. Oh, you love it. No. Mercy. That ride, it's a ride where you're sitting in an elevator, and they are moving you in the dark, and then they just drop you. And they take you back up, and they drop you. And they do it about three times. And you know, I get on it because I think I just like to suffer, I think. I don't know why I keep getting on it, you know? But the uncertainty, you know, when I'm sitting there, I'm just doubting even my very existence. Why am I even here? And that is very unnerving. And many times we go through things in life, situations and challenges. And those challenges come in different ways that will move you to your core and cause you to doubt things that you are 100% certain of. You know, one easy comparison that I can say real quick is when I met my wife almost 8 years ago, after about 2 weeks of speaking to her, I was 100% certain that she was the woman that I was going to marry and live with her for the rest of my life. Okay? The first week of marriage? Mercy. What happened to my, I am so sure to, did I make the right decision? And there are different situations in our lives that get us there. And I pray that tonight, as we open God's words, and you know one thing about God, I love about God? He is not afraid of your questions, your doubting. He is not intimidated by you, period. He's not. He closed that ride? Yeah. Amen, I haven't been back, you see? I don't know if they closed it. So it is my prayer tonight as we open God's words that we may be able to have a better grasp of this thing called doubt. And I just don't want to talk about it. I want to be able to give you some resources and some tools that we can better navigate in life through it. Open your Bibles to me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Are you guys there? Hold on. Okay, it's okay. I'll hold on. Luke chapter 7. All right, good. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this moment, Lord, with our Bibles open, as we talk about doubt, Lord, and uncertainties, I pray that your Holy Spirit may open our minds and our hearts, Lord, and that you may speak to us this moment. The Lord, that we may come to an understanding of who you are through your precious words. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Luke chapter 7, verse 18, we find the following. The disciples of John, and over here we see disciples of John, we're talking about John the Baptist, okay? You can go home and read the verse in the chapter before so you can understand the whole story. And it says, the disciples of John reported all these things to him. What were they reporting to him? You know, right before this verse, Jesus had raised a young man. Yeah, he was dead. He brought him back to life. Before that, Jesus had healed the servant of a centurion that wasn't even part of the Jewish faith. So these disciples were going and telling John the Baptist that up to this point, John the Baptist had been in prison almost a year now, okay, waiting execution, all right? Simply because he was preaching to Herod and telling him, listen, you can't have that woman. That woman is not yours. You need to let her go. That got him into big trouble. So John is sitting in prison when his disciples, the people that follow him, go to him and they're telling him all these things to him. And verse 19 says, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for who? For another person. What does verse 19 sound like to you? What is going on with John? He's questioning. He has questions. He's having doubts. Now, before I jump into this, we need to understand why this question by John the Baptist is so surprising. Okay? We have to understand why. John the Baptist, all right, let's consider who John the Baptist was. You know, later on in verse 28, Jesus will say that among men born to women, John the Baptist was the greatest. Okay? That is a huge statement from Jesus himself about John, okay? That's a huge statement. We also learn about John early on in the book of Luke. When his mother is pregnant with him, it says that he is filled with what? With the Holy Spirit. How many people in your Bible did you read that was filled with the Holy Spirit at conception? Not even Jesus himself. Interesting, huh? We're talking about John the Baptist here. John the Baptist was the one that when he saw Jesus walking by, he would say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the what? The sin of the world. Now let me tell you something. When John said, behold the Lamb of God, in the Greek term, he was saying, there is the sacrificial lamb that's going to take away the sin of the world. So the Jews clearly understood what he was talking about. Jesus wasn't talking about any regular old lamb. It was the one that was going to forgive your sins. You know, when John baptized Jesus, you know what happened when John baptized Jesus? What does the Bible say? It says the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit came in form of a dove. And what else happened? The voice of the Father said what? Behold my Son, in whom what? I am well pleased. John the Baptist had been witness to some incredible, powerful stuff. So my question is, how is it that a man so powerful in deeds, in words, because when you read the story of John the Baptist, I mean, the Holy Spirit used him. And this guy baptized a ton of people by what he was saying, okay? And if you do the history of John the Baptist, he wasn't that educated. He grew up and he lived in the wilderness with the essence. So to be a preacher of the magnitude he was and see all the people come to Christ, he had affirmations that this guy that was walking around, what changed? And you know what, people? Many of us don't begin doubting the existence of God overnight. And about who he is, that in some period in our life, they don't come out to us. And we're going to get deeper into this as we are discussing here tonight. There's a question that I want us to think about. How could such as so much mature convictions? Nothing sadder to me as a pastor to hear someone that's been walking with God for, and because of a situation in their lives, they say, I don't longer believe in God. And they walk away from God. And they question God. Just that at this moment of their life, they're glorifying God for how powerful he is. And then, sometimes, and I go through this, I question myself. How is it that at one moment I'm so sure, and then the next, I have all these doubts? It takes me back to think about, I specifically went to this surgeon that I'm going to in Orlando, Dr. Jaden Cole. Houston has the largest medical center in the world. And every specialist that I went to see for knee, to you, the easiest thing is just to cut off your leg, get a prosthetic, and just move forward. I was like, really? And I found this guy, his name, Dr. Jaden Cole, and I went to him. And he, situation. You know that every time that I was in the room, right before he had to come in, and he would come and talk to me, he would put a mark on my leg that he was doing surgery. He would always ask me the question, do you still believe that I can take care of you? And I knew he was a specialist. I have seen some proofs, and I will say, well, doc, you know what? Hopefully, I hope you can. There are certain situations in our life. Baptist, as he's sitting in prison, as he has a death sentence, as I know is the Messiah. Did you know that Jesus didn't even go visit him in prison? And that was his cousin. The Bible nowhere mentions that Jesus went to visit him at all. Nowhere. I know that he must increase, so therefore I must what? Decrease. And the moment that Jesus got ministry finished. So did you know that John's ministry was only for 6 months? Do the math. Go figure it out. So in this place, I can imagine the prisons back then. Dark, cold, filled with flies, filled with rats. Who knows? I'm pretty sure. And running the thoughts through his mind. Trying to figure out if this guy that he... And you know, a lot of us get locked up in some prisons in our minds. And we start wrestling with that darkness that goes on. And we start questioning. When doubt enters, I'll enter his mind. If we go back to Luke chapter 3, all right, let's go with me real quick to John to see your verses 16 and 17. John was patient, okay? And in Luke 3, 16 and 17, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy. Any fork is in hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather fire. That's what his preaching was. He said, guys, you better repent because the guy is here and he's going to... John was waiting for a judgmental Messiah. A Messiah that was going to come. He was also waiting for a Messiah that was going to establish his kingdom and his authority immediately. Watch this. A chapter later, in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. Jesus himself speaking now, okay? And it's pretty interesting how these two verses come up, a chapter from each other within similar verses. Chapter 4, he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and proclaim the year of the Lord's, what it says? Favor. Does the word favor sound like judgment to you? What does that mean? So John is waiting for one type of message and one type of action. It's not what John was expecting. And people, when we enter, that's where the danger begins. I want to ask the part in your papers, leaders, that says rewind. We're going to take a step back, okay? You guys to talk as a group, okay? And I'm going to give about 10 minutes, and then we'll come back together, all right? So you guys with your group, okay? Oh, we got some more. So let me go a step back. Yeah, you guys can sit right here. Just let it work with you guys right here. Yeah, you guys can sit right there. All right, leaders, we have a chance to transition into the second question. All right, the next 30 seconds, we'll come back together. been together now. All right. Group, just have those questions reflecting in your mind. I heard some pretty good discussion going on here. All right. So, for the majority of you, okay. I'll give you some more time to reflect here in a few minutes. Now, were most of us able to identify in a situation or an event where we felt that God let us down? You had an expectation and it wasn't met. Now, did that event or situation, did that shake your faith up? Didn't it? Yes or no? Yes. Yes. You know, for some it does, for others it doesn't. You know? And, you know, there was what we talked about, what mistakes were made, you know, in perspective. I gave God a to-do list rather than seeking his direction. I've been guilty of A and B so far, you know. Misunderstood what it means to trust God. You know, I've been guilty of that. You know, especially with the verses that says, it's like, so, hey, I'm knocking, I'm looking, why aren't you again, you know? The fourth one had an inadequate understanding of God's word, right? Different situations and the way how we perceive or think that God should be take us from one place in our beliefs and faith and take us to this world of the unknown, of the unbattled that we call doubt. Greatest man ever born of woman, according to what Jesus said himself, wrestled with that situation himself. And it was because the expectations that he weren't being fulfilled. And if you're honest with yourself, okay? And this is... what caused your faith to shake or to fail? If you're honest with yourself. What causes your marriage X, Y, and Z? Of course, yeah, the devil's involved. But you see, people, what I'm getting at is that at one point or another, we all have this belief and trust in God that I wasn't going to be able to have kids. We've been married 8 years. And we're a worker, you know? We have friends everybody's having kids. We praying, and Smith, I'm sorry to share this news. You're the issue. You're the problem. You guys laughing a little bit. And for a moment, I started to ask God, I mean, what's up with this, you know? I'm a child. I mean, you can give me one at 35. Hello? But you see, sometimes I will take scripture and try to apply it to what I was needing, you know? Denying. That may not be the plans and what he wants for me. John the Baptist was going through these struggles. You know, let's go back to scripture, to Luke chapter 7, because I find it interesting the way that Jesus to John's daughter. Now, before I move on, let me ask you guys a question. Does you believe that he's the Son of God? Regardless of what your opinion is or where you think of the church or blah, blah, blah. It's pretty good. Good. Verse 20. And when the man had come to him, they said, because they went to Jesus, John the Baptist, or shall we look for another? In that hour, watch this. The verse says, in that hour, he does what? What does your Bible say? Verse 21. In that hour, he healed many people of diseases. What else he did too? He got the demons out of there too. Evil spirits, sight. So before Jesus even spoke, he did proving. It went to action. He started to give something. It wasn't just John doubting, okay? Because see, there's something interesting here. And we don't realize sometimes, especially those of you that have kids, growing up, I always read her. I would always remind her, sister, we're pretty interesting sometimes, right? When we doubt, those around us, the guys that went to ask the questions, them too were having issues and doubt. They were struggling. John, in his moment of despair, in his moment of weakness, in his moment of pain, in his moment of not. And what I love about Jesus was that he didn't reply a rebuke. He didn't turn them away. He didn't get angry. It's if we doubt God, God is going to despise us. That is a lie. Okay, the grand majority of you. Regardless of what your child does or says or question you, are you gonna, regardless of how he behaves, what he thinks, and what he says about you, still your child. Sometimes, you know, it's not love first. First is the, you know, I have a Caribbean. Why don't you talk to me before, Mom, you know? Yeah, she did want my attention. That's right. You know? If John is doubting and his disciples bring the question, because let me tell you something, they weren't blind. They were around him when he fed the 5,000. They saw when they raised the dead kid to them. They were the reporters. And they went on with the questions. Instead of saying, John, you know what? Impossible. I saw a dead person and he came back to life. They saw that. John didn't. But yet, because they believed. You know, this part makes me think, man, if I see somebody coming up to life, first of all, I'm going to run for my life, right? Because I've never seen that before. And it says that Jesus went into action. Verse 22. And he answered them, and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news, preach to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. That's what his reply is. And do you know what Jesus is quoting? The Bible that John the Baptist knew. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1. You can go read it later on. And Jesus quotes the first part, and he doesn't quote to him, because that wasn't God's will for John. So Jesus only quotes one part of it because it's hope. You see, when God deals with us, he deals with facts. And the majority would say yes, whether you believe in God or not. Have you seen something impossible in God or not? You have seen things that are impossible become possible, and that is because of the power of God. Things that are impossible in human standards are possible for God. And you know what creates that in our mind? I don't want my New York English Texan to break it up. This thought, when we run into trouble, when we try to give God human characteristics, because God is so much more, but if God will let us down. It's true that God often doesn't come through in the way and timing you expect it. Mercy, when I read that, I was like, oh. For example, it's not because that she stops loving me. It's because she's not doing something that I want her to do. Or, and then she'll say, why? Because I didn't want to buy you that expensive gift? Yeah. Doubt. It's not the individual or what we believe, because you have enough proof of who God is. You don't know where it comes from, and it's just circulating in you. And you doubt God? Well, but I doubt God because I try to put him in human form. And since people have let me down, then I automatically think, well, if the one, you know, there's a saying that I once heard, I don't know who said it. It's just that his timing is not your timing. It is his universe, not yours. It is his purpose, not your purpose. And I can go on and on and on. And I love what Christ did with John. And you know, I had the intentions of getting you back in group, but I want to respect the time. Tonight, if you guys to go home, it's like time flew, Pastor Josh. What? Man, and this topic, time just chopped away. And there's two questions that I want you to think about, okay? And if you want these papers, it's Pastor Josh and myself, we can make copies for you later on and give them to you. You know, if you rethink this thing we call faith, you know what I love about God? God is not afraid of reasoning. The faith is now blind. You're supposed to reason faith. You're supposed to have tangible proof. And if you believe in something that I don't see, you need proof. The other question is, what happens to your spiritual effectiveness when you begin doubting your faith? You see, it's a dual process, and Satan is a master in that. If he gets you to doubt your faith, then your effectiveness, your faith, starts to dwindle. Then no longer you have a desire to go to church. Then you longer don't have the time to serve God. And then you don't want to give. You don't want to do that because you start questioning whether God is good to me or not. But here's the funny part. We still keep coming to church. We're still in somehow searching or wanting for him to just do something on my behalf, right? And you know how we can deal with this doubt better? I love what Jesus did with John. Do you know what he quoted to him? Scriptures. Do you know how from uncertainty to certainty and faith is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. I did not know that I was going to marry Rose within the first few weeks. You know, it took me about 3 months. I married her after 3 months of knowing her. All I needed was a few months to know that that was the woman I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, because I saw enough in her. I spent enough. I didn't need a year or 6 months and all this stuff. And all of us are capable of analyzing our spiritual relationship with God. But you cannot understand or know who God is if you do not give him the time of day. I had a young man come up to me and say, you know what? I don't believe in God and blah, 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 blah. And he's bombarding me with all these. I asked him one question. Have you read the Bible from Genesis through Revelation at least once? He stopped and he looked at me and he says, well, I read some. I'm not talking about once. And ask God to show you who he is. No, I've never done that. I said, when you do that, come talk to me. I'm pretty sure that you might not establish our relationship right away, but at least you'll have a better understanding of why you're not willing to accept what he's saying, who he is. Many times, people, our doubts come from things that we are expecting, that we think we understand or know, and we think that God lets us down. And John the Baptist wrestled with this situation. You know, with the answer that Jesus gave John, he was implying, John, I want to correct your view of me. God that's going to rescue, heal, restore, and save those who are lost and those who need. Those that are suffering of some sort of pain. God is here for those whose marriages are struggling. God is here. Get up from where you're at and help you move forward in life as you're walking on to him. And the only way that you can know who God is and what he's capable of doing is if you make a conscious decision to spend time with him. You might say, well, that's nothing new. Well, yeah. Some of the best things on this world are not new. Do you know how I strengthen my marriage with my wife? We have a date night now every Tuesday. She forced me to do that. Amen. I love my wife. And you know what? We've gotten stronger together. There's a song out there, and I forget who sings it, that I really love that says, you know, we have decided to be brokenness. And you let God into your life. And that's what John did. I love what John did. Because John, whom he knew, would never lie to him. Although he was dying Jesus, he said to the disciples, he was doubting Jesus. He sent the So I want to challenge you as we get ready to go home tonight. Whatever you're wrestling with, and I know we all wrestle with God and questions and stuff, why don't you go ask him yourself? Stop doing your own research. Stop trust and start trusting in him. By the way, do you know what is doubt? Doubt is the absence of trust. Right? Or am I wrong? Or have I understood this English thing incorrectly, you know? Maybe my Spanish doesn't help me, right? Isn't doubt the absence of trust? And I want you to ask yourself, where did you leave your trust in God? Because he doesn't go anywhere. The Bible says that God is he's the same yesterday, and something is telling me, something lets me know that I'm the one that left my trust in him somewhere. And I'm going to check your words, your scripture, and find it. We're going to sing our song here, Mighty to Save. And I'm going to want to read you two more verses before we pray. And I just want you to think about, as we pray, as we sing, and reflect in you, where do I find it? Where did I leave it? What is it that I need to come to you and ask you, regardless of what's going on in my life? Let's sing the song, and we'll continue here.
Praise our God together.
author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave.
Steps to alleviate your doubt. They continue to learn about your beliefs, doubt experiences, apathy, or mistaken beliefs. No matter how doubt gets in, it will to Jesus. I'm going to leave you with Psalms 91, 1 and 2. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust." I want to invite you to transfer your trust from yourself and put it into God's hand. And let Him be God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we've come tonight, Lord, just to speak here a few minutes, Lord, of this vast topic of doubt, Lord. And I know, Lord, that there are different situations and different events in our lives that occur that we get discouraged. Because the expectation that we've had, Lord, wasn't met, or things weren't done the way we planned. And Father, many times we think, Lord, that it's because you have failed your promises, Lord. Father, I want to thank you that tonight, Lord, that even a man like John the Baptist, a man who was full of the Spirit, a man who heard God speak from heaven, Lord, he even went through a period of doubt as well. But I want to thank you, Lord, because in his period of doubt, he went to the source of all answers. To the truth, who is Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you, Lord, because you didn't rebuke him. You didn't cast him away, Lord. But with loving words, Lord, you sent back a message of comfort and strength, reminding John of all the great things that you are able to do in people's lives, Lord. And Father, as we struggle with doubt, Lord, and the situations that are blazing in our lives right now, Lord, I just pray that you may remind us of miracles that you have done in our lives and in the lives of those that are around us, Lord. Because we have enough witness, we have enough proof that testify that you are an almighty God and that you have the power to take a person from one situation and put him into another one where your name will continue to be praised and glorified. Father, my final prayer is that tonight, Lord, you may give us the courage and the strength to actively seek a way out of doubting, Lord. Sometimes we're just praying and hoping that it just disappears, Lord, but in reality, we need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time studying your word. We need to spend time going to church and fellowshipping and commuting with people that can help us get past these hurdles, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you may give us the capability and the timing to be able to get to know you intimately, Lord. The same way we spend time getting to know other people before we trust them, that we can do the same for you, Lord. And thank you so much, Lord, because you love us in spite of who we are, what we've done, and you're ready to forgive us. As we go home, take us home safely, Lord, and give us the courage to continue to believe in Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.